We'll have time for questions in the end as well. And as we move into Paula's presentation, I just want to kind of remind you that we heard from maternal and child health at a state health office and a death investigator here. And Paula V and the project in New Mexico actually sit within injury prevention. And she's also going to talk about how they use their data to improve death investigation. So nice segue. Thank you very much. Because one of their big partners, like New Hampshire, their big partner is the Office of the Medical Examiner. I have to say that New Mexico and New Hampshire are the only two states that actually use their money to pay for somebody in the Office of the Medical Examiner. And think about what an advantage that gives when you come into work one day, when Kim goes into work and they say, oh, we have an infant case. So boom, data collection starts right then. So it really gives both of these states a real advantage as far as moving along timeliness. And with that, I'll give it to Paula V.
Good afternoon. On a side note, I was in Europe 10 years ago, and they were asking, like, where are you from? And I'd say New Mexico, and no one knew. Last year I went to Europe, everyone knew where New Mexico was from. And you guys know why?
No.
Breaking Bad.
Oh.
So, yeah, we're getting publicity recently, but anyway. So New Mexico is, is the fifth largest state in the nation in terms of area, but has a relatively small population. According to recent data from the University of New Mexico, approximately 43% of the population are Hispanic, 41% are white, 11% are American Indian. New Mexico is home to 19 pueblos and 3 tribes. The Navajo Nation, which represents the largest American Indian population in the U.S., is located in the state. And 5% are Asian, Black, or other. So New Mexico has a high proportion of young, rural, poor, medically uninsured population. Although teen pregnancy rates haven't declined since 1998, it's still the second highest in the nation after Mississippi. According to recent analysis by the state's Legislative Finance Committee, approximately 7 out of 10 births in New Mexico were paid by Medicaid, which is related to poverty and reflects a whole slew of problems in public health. So we have about 25 to 30 SWID cases per year. So as Lena mentioned, New Mexico is one of the 5 states to receive funding by the CDC for the SWID case registry project. And the state was really well positioned to collect information because it has a state-of-the-art centralized medical state examiner's office. And as you can see the picture over there, it just opened last year, this new facility. It employs, the OMI employs 115 death scene investigators and 8 pathologists. And the OMI has had a long-standing interest in accurately classifying infant deaths. So as far back as 1998, they had implemented specific scene guidelines for collecting information on infant death. So the SWID case registry is basically a collaboration between DOH, which received the funding, and the OMI, which is our contractor. Once we started doing the project, it sort of highlighted some of the issues that we, in terms of the data collection process. So for example, we were able to look at the comparison between the existing OMI death scene forms and the SWIDAR forms, reporting forms, and basically it underscored the importance of using the SWIDAR form. So the project also highlighted some of the inconsistencies in the quality of the data that was gathered by the OMI. So one of the big examples of this is, so in 2010, all death scene investigators were contacted and asked to include now the SWIDAR form along with their death scene report. So at that time, the compliance rate at the end of 2010 for turning in those forms was 70%. So they did a pretty good job of it. But in 2011, when staff members from the project did not contact the DSIs, there were only 39% of the SWIDAR forms were actually turned in. So as a result, the OMI higher-ups made changes to OMI procedure requiring that suitor forms be submitted on all infant deaths. So, and as a result, 86% of the forms were turned in 2012, and of the four that weren't turned in, there were specific reasons why they weren't turned in. So New Mexico's participation in the suitor form has allowed the investigation into the content and quality of the death scene. So by comparing information obtained through the New Mexico's existing protocol with the SUDRF information and by looking at the compliance of SUDRF use by DSI, the OMI made some changes, including, you know, having mandatory forms. So the data gathered for the first few years of the case registry allowed us to evaluate the OMI death scene data collection process. The fact that we had OMI pathologists in our death review and that we were in constant communication with the investigators allowed for us to make some important changes in the data collection process. As a result, the OMI also began suicide-focused training training for investigators that were held twice a year, and this included not just the investigators, but also police and other first responders. So they were trained on the importance of doll reenactment, just gathering information, and scene photography, which is also very important. So the other thing that the OMI did was they made doll reenactment mandatory for all potential suicide cases. So with the help of the grant, we recently purchased dolls for all of the investigators. And now the OMI also has full-body CTs for every infant death. They have extended lung, heart, and brain examinations with additional follow-up. So again, since the implementation of the SUID project, the infant death scenes are much more thorough, and the quality of the data gathered has really improved. I've been told that it feels much more like a team effort from the moment of the initial walkthrough to the photographs that are being taken, to the interviews with the family, and then finally the autopsies and the analysis. It's been really neat for me to see how the data that we've gathered from because of the project has actually allowed for feedback and just improvement and, you know, and eventually change in practices and policies within the OMI. So. Oh, that's just. Thank you.
So, do you see more cases of Santa Fe or Las Cruces or Christmas?
Well, in terms of numbers, we see them in Albuquerque a lot more because of, you know, most of the population is in that Bernalillo County area. The rates are, we have small number of issues, but. Because of the rural population, it definitely, you know, they're scattered. So, but one of the more interesting things is, you know, because the OMI doesn't have jurisdiction in native lands, and so we were under the assumption that maybe we weren't getting some of the native infant deaths, and so we did a thorough study just this past spring to look at. Numbers based on vital record ICD-10 codes, and then we did a comparison, sort of a, you know, manual data linkage. And what we found was that we were only missing two out of 35 cases. Well, actually, out of 90 cases in 3 years, we had missed two, and there were specific reasons for those two. So we are getting most of those cases. Unfortunately, in native land, sometimes those deaths, the infant deaths, don't get reported. Like, you know, they'll not even death certificate, so we might miss that. But
the reason I ask is a lot of Southern New Mexico people from, like, Las Cruces go to El Paso.
El Paso. Yeah. So we do, yeah. That's one thing that we. Right. That's true. So we have not been looking at out-of-state deaths that occur. But most of the actual deaths that occur in New Mexico come to the OMI for autopsy.
Okay.